Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
CODA salutes those who served. Veterans ride free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of CODA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use CODA Plus. Veterans ride free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on CODA. Plan your ride and learn more at CODA.com/trip planner.
The go through some emails, check your calendar, see that you have a 45-minute break in the day between meetings, realize this is your moment, so you drive right to McDonald's to pick up something extra delicious ASAP. Meal.
Thank you.
There's a meal for every moment at McDonald's.
Buy one of your select faves and get another for just a dollar every morning, like a sausage McMuffin or hash browns.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Price and participation may vary. Valid for product of equal or lesser value. Cannot be combined with any other offer. Combo meal valid when product served.
And welcome to episode number 39 of the LSR podcast. My name is Matt Brown, joined each and every week by the brightest minds in all of the gaming industry. I have with me Dustin Galker. I have with me Adam Candy, and they will fill you in on a bunch of stuff. What's going on in Maine? What happened with Unibet and Caesars? What are we looking at in Kentucky and South Carolina? How did those numbers come out in New Jersey? But guys, let's go ahead and kick things off here with yet another media partnership. We have talked at length on this podcast about where we thought the next domino would fall. And not only that, but how many more dominoes were there even left to fall in the grand scheme of things? The latest, of course, being that Barstool announcement that they were going to be 36% was going to be purchased by Penn National. And we said, okay, well, Barstool was certainly one of the, you know, bigger media companies that fits the demographic that was available out there. And Dustin, here comes another one that has been in the works for a hot minute, but finally an official press release released yesterday.
Yeah, William Hill inked a deal with CBS Sports to be as a part of a strategic partnership. William Hill has made no secret that it wanted a quote-unquote media partner along the lines of all these other deals that we've seen. So not shocking. It also kind of came out over the weekend that this was going to happen, but yeah, made official. And this is, yeah, this trend of single sports books pairing up with single media entities is pretty interesting. Nobody really wants to play the field. Apparently they just want to like lock up and say, here, you promote our sports book. You include our odds and we clean transaction, and everybody appears to be happy with that so far. So, I'm not sure it's the best for either party all along, but you know, William Hill, has a good brand in Nevada, is not exactly well known, rest of the United States yet, I don't think. So, getting their name in front of, you know, fantasy football people who just visit CBS Sports looking for sports or sports betting information, it makes a lot of sense for Will Hill. From the standpoint of what you're talking about, there's not a whole lot of these deals left. Yahoo with MGM, Fox Sports, and the Stars Group, PokerStars/FoxBet. The Score is doing its own app, and then the aforementioned Barstool. So, NBC Sports is the one kind of big one that we know is hanging out there that does not have this kind of partnership. But you got to think that they're already working on it or have more plans for sports betting coming down the pike.
Yeah, definitely. Caesars and ESPN and, of course, Bleacher Report /Turner and Caesars as well. So there is a lot of those going on out there. Now, Adam, when we take a look at this, you know, different from, let's call this, that, you know, let's compare it to the most recent thing, which was the Barstool deal, which, yeah, the Barstool has certainly a brand, tons of different websites out there. They do some live streaming programming and stuff, but, you know, don't have a television network, don't have, you know, a lot of the different entities that CBS does have. And so when you look at this from William Hill's perspective, you have a brand in CBS that has rights to the NFL, has rights to March Madness, has a dedicated full-time sports network in CBS Sports Network. They have that digital streaming network as well, CBS Sports HQ, that they have been pumping up, and it runs programming the majority of the day, which is actually live, and it's just a completely over-the-top network with that. They have sportsline.com as well. So this isn't CBS's first kind of foray into the whole sports betting thing. They've actually run that Sportsline site for a couple of years now, which is a subscription-based service where they give you predictions and certain tout guys go on there and talk about the different picks that they want to do. And then, of course, there's also, as Dustin mentioned, the fantasy sports angle in all this, where CBS isn't necessarily, I think, the powerhouse that ESPN and Yahoo is from a fantasy football standpoint, but I think CBS is still one of the, or if not the leader when it comes to fantasy baseball. I think that fantasy baseball, a lot of the major leagues, high dollar leagues, a lot of the people that take it real seriously use CBS as their platform. So, you know, for William Hill, we don't know how these media deals are going to really play out over the long term, but at least in the short term, if you take all the stuff that I just said and put it on paper for William Hill, seems like a pretty good little path into kind of getting your name out there in front of some people that might not be familiar with the European company.
I think you mentioned two obvious things and left one out that goes along with that. The NFL deal, obviously, and with Fox being aligned with Stars now, you weren't going to get in on Fox Bet. NBC Sports has a presence with Sunday Night Football, but not quite the same presence that CBS does with the regular AFC coverage. Obviously, March Madness. And I think that what goes along with March Madness is the Masters. And you talk about the two things that CBS has exclusive rights to in terms of broadcast networks with March Madness and the Masters. And those are enormous standalone acquisition opportunities for William Hill when it comes to getting customers at times when you know that all eyes are going to be focused on those events at the times that they're going on. So I love the play from that perspective. There are some parts of the CBS offering, I think, overall with the things that you mentioned that are a little bit wonky, that aren't necessarily market leading. But, you know, in William Hill's case, you know, they are clearly, with all of the retail presence that they're going for, they just want to smother the country with the name. And that's what they're hoping for, is to gain a presence that that can keep up with some of the bigger boys in terms of being able to be known nationwide. And this will go a long way toward that.
Yeah, I did a little anecdotal kind of poll amongst my friends. Of course, if you've listened to this podcast, you understand most of my friends live back in the South, either in Texas or in Louisiana, and basically asked them, hey, of these brands, and I listed, you know, DraftKings, FanDuel, William Hill, FoxBet, whatever, I was like, which of these have you actually heard of before, you know, before you heard me talking about these different brands, and which one of these are you definitely not familiar with at all, if any? And the one that kept popping up was William Hill, you know, and I think that we've all lived kind of in this gambling space for quite some time. Of course, Adam and I both live in Nevada, so William Hill does have a big presence here. So we're definitely familiar with William Hill and get slapped over the face with William Hill quite often. I think one of the things that is overlooked a lot with William Hill here in Nevada is just their access to people, with the way that they've partnered with Golden Gaming, and they're in all of these pubs all over the state. They are also in, you can make deposits at 7-Eleven if you want to. They have done a partnership with 7-Elevens to where you can make deposits into your William Hill account across the state here. So they actually have really, really wide access to a lot of the people. But as far as brand recognition, and as far as, you know, just the casual person knowing and understanding what William Hill was, I was actually pretty shocked that they were saying, a lot of, you know, a few of them said they never even heard of William Hill, much less be familiar with the brand and things like that. So that's why whenever I saw this, you know, again, we don't know the effect, I think, in long term as to how this is going to work out for these different brands. But, you know, from a William Hill perspective, this is probably about as good as you're going to do as far as being able to get exposure to those people. Now, Dustin, we don't know, the real specifics of all this. We don't know how soon we will see William Hill start to show up on broadcasts, or whether they'll kind of like slowly trickle it in. Maybe it starts on CBS Sports Network before it actually makes it to big CBS and different things like that. But I mean, you have to imagine, if you're William Hill, part of this deal was that at some point, you know, this was all really about the NFL access. And, you know, of course, the March Madness and and master stuff is great, but you're really looking for that NFL access.
Yeah, you want the acquisition period when around football. You want everybody. There's a lot of eyes on the CBS platform on football for fantasy, just for football content. You know, just anecdotally, I know that CBS kind of crushes search engines for football betting content and just football content in general. So yeah, you could do a lot worse than this. And for me, it's really, you know, you can quibble about whatever you want to about this, but if you're not, your name isn't DraftKings or FanDuel right now, your brand recognition to, you know, the rest of the United States is kind of nothing, right? Like you said, nobody knows who William Hill is outside of Nevada. And even Nevada is like, it's not a household name. And so you, if you start moving towards that, you know, Caesars has a little bit of cachet with a name. MGM, people know what MGM is at least. But anybody else, you really do need that branding to start, you know, making some inroads, I think, in the sports betting. So, you know, without knowing the terms of the deal, it would make a lot of sense for William Hill to get this push from a major platform that deals with sports and football.
And Adam, a story that you guys broke over at Legal Sports Report was that the NFL was actually looking to hire someone to come in and look over sports gambling, look over sports wagering for them. Of course, this was just something that was inevitable. They were going to be able to only turn a blind eye for so long until they finally had to really take a hard look at this. And so you guys, you know, put that story out and it made its rounds for sure. And I think, you know, whenever you look at this and what we saw from the XFL this past week, where gambling was front and center, and I think it actually was pretty welcome to a lot of the viewing public out there, that this is something that people talk about anyway. So to completely ignore it and pretend like it doesn't exist was certainly something that we were, you know, that I think that people really thought was authentic about that broadcast. And so, you know, I don't know how far we are away from something like that with the NFL. You have to think it's certainly not going to happen this season, but I mean, do you think it's crazy to think that 2 years from now, where now we've had legalized sports betting across this country for multiple years, we have the NFL trying to, you know, at least embrace this gambling thing from some sort of aspect by hiring someone within their organization. I mean, is it crazy to think that maybe, you know, two seasons from now that they're at least working this stuff into NFL broadcasts, and then a partnership like this for William Hill just pays off in spades?
I think that's the high end of the spectrum. I would be surprised if the NFL were to work it in any sort of meaningful way. I just feel like they have enough feeling of legacy behind them in terms of their approach toward these things, in terms of how their ownership is versus how ownership in some of the other major pro sports leagues acts, that I would be surprised if that's the case. That said, if you're William Hill and you want to make that wager, why wouldn't you? I mean, really, there's no downside in that. And there's no downside in having the affiliation with the NFL just for branding and marketing purposes in the first place, with all of the other channels for getting the name out there that CBS offers you. So, yeah, I think that's certainly, you know, the home run play out of this. But I think just getting the deal in the first place is a pretty big hit.
I'll take the over on William Hill odds on CBS NFL broadcasts in 2 years.
All right. All right, that's fun. That's a good sweat. Yes, I like that. That's a quality.
As we already discussed, nobody marks down any of my predictions, so I can deny it later. It's fine.
I like it. No, Dustin. Before I don't want to gloss over it here, but you know, the NFL going out and looking for someone to come in within their organization, you know, quote unquote, the vice president of sports betting for the NFL. I mean, this is a pretty major leap from where we were. I would say let's call it 8 months ago with this whole NFL thing. It's pretty crazy to see this.
Yeah, I mean, think back to 2 years ago when, you know, where we were, and think of like the idea of the NFL hiring a position that deals exactly with sports betting. Now, granted, they probably should have been doing that beforehand, because it's not, again, we always say, it's not like betting on the NFL started 2018 with the fall of PASPA. There's been plenty of betting on the NFL, and there's plenty of concerns about integrity and the, you know, intersection with that. But yes, this is the NFL, you know, understanding the landscape it lives in. You need some somebody to deal with this. The integrity / problem gambling part of it should be like a big part of it. This is, obviously a commercial position. There will obviously be people reporting to the position that deal with sports betting as well. But yeah, this is, it's big business. It will help eventually. People like to look at the ratings in the short term. It's hard to diagnose those versus how much sports betting is helping or hurting or whatever. But, there's going to be more engagement in the NFL product and every sports product because of betting. And if you're not being proactive about it, yeah, you're just being silly. So, the NFL, not always known as the most forward-looking organization, is at least starting to get on board.
I did throw my name into the hat. I responded, I quote tweeted the article when it went up on LSR, and I let everybody know that I only wanted a seven-figure salary. I wanted 60 days of vacation, and I wanted use of the NFL private jet. And outside of that, I would work my ass off for the NFL in this job. So I did not to date. And now listen, it's only been up about a week. I think that y'all broke this about a week ago. So I don't expect the NFL to just rush to contact me. So I'm still, things are still open. My DMs are open, and you can find my email address.
If Roger Goodell is worth $44 million a year, you're worth at least 1/44th of that.
I would think. I mean, this is basically how I went about, with my salary demands there, Adam, was I figured that I was 1/44th the person that Roger Goodell was. And with that, I will be okay with just my measly little 1 million a year. And I'll kiss the ring for his, when he gets his check for 44 every single year, that's fine. I'll bow down and tell him what an amazing person he is. So
well, they'll probably wait to do the interview with you until the draft in Vegas. I think.
There we go. Yeah, because they'll be here anyway.
I assume. Yeah, they're just waiting for that.
That's true. They'll be here anyway. So that's smart on their part. And thanks for that, Dustin. I do appreciate that. I was wondering why they had not contacted me. So we had some interesting stuff go on in Maine. This, if you guys have been following the saga here, this is a very, very interesting story. Adam's going to explain it to you, but be sure and head over to Legal Sports Report and click on the article for a full kind of written breakdown of how all this went down. But just some crazy, crazy shenanigans going on over there in Maine.
We basically went from last year thinking we were going to have legal sports betting in Maine to this year thinking we definitely were not, to this year again thinking we likely were, and now we know it definitely is not happening in 2020. Here's the long and short of it when it comes to the weird happenings in Maine. The legislature passed a bill approving a pretty interesting structure last year, untethered, mostly open for operators, reasonable tax rate, et cetera, et cetera. And the governor chose not to act on it, and there was a little quirk in the Maine law that allowed her basically not to make a move on it until January of this year. She could have let it become law without her signature. She could veto or approve. She chose to veto Maine sports betting, and unfortunately, she had some very strange logic on things like, well, if we open it up to betting on sports, what if we open it up to betting on spelling bees or betting on school board elections or other things that you would obviously never see in a regulated U.S. market? The legislature didn't give up, though. They decided to go for an override, need 2/3 in each chamber. The Senate was able to accomplish that. The House looked like it was good to go, but there was a required 5-day delay between the Senate and the House taking their votes. In those 5 days, our Matt Credell broke the story that the governor was calling through every Democrat in the House, asking them to sustain her veto. Also, the two casinos in the state, which obviously don't want sports betting to be untethered, they wanted to have to go through them. Not only did they have their lobbyists working the legislators, they also had employees of one of the casinos, Oxford Casino, calling legislators and saying that untethered mobile sports betting was going to lead to them losing their jobs, which is absolutely ludicrous. And I mean, that is just a complete and total abuse of how you should be treating employees and working them through the legislative system. That's total garbage on behalf of that casino. But you know what? It worked. You had roughly 60% of the House vote to override the governor's veto when you needed 67%. And so it's a short legislative session in Maine this year, which means they can't bring it back. And you'll be looking at least 2021 for Maine to try again.
And again, Maine, not a huge population inside that inside the state borders, but worth mentioning that right across the closest state being New Hampshire does, in fact, have legal sports betting, does in fact have mobile sports betting. So there is, at least in theory, the thought that money is leaving the state, because there are people who can make that short drive over to New Hampshire and place a bet legally if they want to. And I mean, frankly, they're right there on the border of Canada as well. And so if they wanted to, you know, swing across the border over there and do some stuff in Canada, of course, that it would be on the table as well. So, I mean, you know, again, not a huge population there in Maine. And, you know, I don't know how much money is leaving the state, but I don't think, Dustin, I don't think it's crazy to at least assume that there is definitely money leaving the state because their bordering state has legalized sports betting.
One of my favorite things and little wonky things about legalized sports betting is that the governor of New Hampshire likes to troll the surrounding states and say, come bet, come bet, come bet in New Hampshire. You can't bet. Maine doesn't pass a law. Come bet in New Hampshire. You know, Massachusetts, you're screwing around. Come bet in New Hampshire. Like, he's like the biggest cheerleader, which is great. Maine is a shame because it was like, this is one of the like actually coolest pieces of legislation we've seen, kind of low barred entry. Anybody can get in. It wasn't tethered to casinos. Like everybody was like, oh man, this is what everybody should do. That was never going to happen, of course, around the country, just the way things go in legislatures and the lobbyists that are involved with all of this. But Maine had a chance to do something cool. Now the law is not going to happen. And if they do it, they're probably going to go back and change what was going to be a pretty good law as far as, you know, for the consumer facing, but for consumers in Maine who would have had a really good opportunity to bet on lots of platforms, low taxes, things like that. So kind of sucks that Maine didn't get done.
Adam, how many times have you visited the great state of Maine?
A grand total of zero.
Oh, have you, Dustin?
I have. Maine's awesome.
You have? You've been to Maine? Water.
Yeah, Bar Harbor. Right. Bar Harbor. It's awesome. Yeah, it's a little chilly. The water's chilly. You don't really want to swim in it. But yeah, cool place. I think it's America's Playground or New England's Playground. I don't know.
There we go. As long as one third of us have been to some of these places that we're talking about, I mean, that's definitely the way to go here.
Yeah. Banger.
You're like, I can name maybe another city. Like, I'm pretty sure. Maybe.
Augusta.
Yeah, there you go. All right. So let's talk about another one of these brands that is big elsewhere, but not necessarily big here. A company that we all, again, are very familiar with working in the industry, but I think that certainly the layperson does not know about Unibet. And Unibet is live over in New Jersey. If you are in New Jersey and you wanted to bet at Unibet, that is an option to you. But we have here, Dustin, Unibet looks like it's going to be spreading their wings here across the United States a little bit more.
Yeah, European company that is clearly has pretty big designs on the United States. Also have online casino in Pennsylvania. Unibet will be with getting into Indiana and Iowa through a market access deal with Caesars. Definitely, you know, these European brands are coming over. This is a lot of what we're talking about William Hill too. Like, nobody knows what a Unibet is here, so they're gonna, you know, with their path to being you know, a major player, it's not exactly clear, but it starts with market access because you can't get into these states without some sort of deal. So that's the first step, and you know, they'll clearly be doing more than just opening the doors to try to get people to start betting, or at least just kind of biding their time as you know, people with you know, burning through more cash to acquire customers. Now they could just be biding their time and just open up the doors and hope to make a bigger splash later on.
So with this, I mean, I guess it's worth talking about here, you know, Caesars and, you know, the imminent turning into El Dorado with Caesars and stuff. And like, it really does kind of, I think people are going to have a difficult time trying to figure out how all of these deals mesh together and how everyone plays nice in the sandbox. I have tried to figure that out myself. Adam, I'm sure you have also tried to look at all of this crazy web of how this is all going to play out. I was not able to come to an answer as to how I think that this is all going to end with everyone playing nice with all of these different deals under the same umbrella. Do you have any sort of insight whatsoever as to how this is going to, you know, play out long term here?
I think the companies involved would first have to have a better picture of how this is all going to play out before we're going to have any sense of how it's going to play out, because at every turn where we've thought we know, okay, this is what comes next, there has been some other layer of deal that has come into this when it comes to Caesars and El Dorado and William Hill and ESPN and DraftKings and all sorts of properties that are involved in all of this. So I think it's definitely just wait and see to see how this all shakes down.
Now, Adam, we don't normally do this here on the podcast, but a bit of breaking news as we are recording. This is one of the very few times that you will not be able to find the story that we are going to talk about on Legal Sports Report. But you just saw a bit of breaking news here in the gaming industry.
Yeah, actually, credit to Dustin for having the eyes out on this one. But yes, it appears that Jim Murren, the chairman of MGM Resorts International, is going to step down before the end of his contract. That story just coming out as we're recording the podcast. It's obviously enormous news in the gaming world and for sports betting, because Jim Murren was someone who took MGM right out into the front in terms of betting on the legal sports market in the United States. You know, you're looking at MGM having deals with three of the four major professional leagues to be authorized gaming operators. They have a deal with GVC to expand their U.S. sports betting throughout the country. They have a deal with Boyd for market access sharing throughout the U.S. So the direction has been set for MGM with Jim Murren, but it'll be very interesting to see, of course, who replaces him. And then if that has any effect on MGM's strategy when it comes to sports betting in the U.S.
Yeah, longtime guy there, been with the company since 98, has been the actual chairman and CEO since 2008. So you can see a pretty tenured guy there with MGM. So it is certainly a very big announcement here coming across as we are taping a podcast. We will sure if anything comes down, we will have that news for you over at LSR. So Adam, let's swing back around to you here on this one. I mean, this is something again that we continue to kind of follow these states and how the ups and the downs and the twists and turns. And it looks like there's a little bit of that going on in Virginia.
This is interesting. we know that Virginia has changed up its law a little bit in committee. There's a committee sub that came in that had some very interesting language in it, and it doesn't really refer to anyone specifically, but if you read between the lines, you can see what's going on, where there's language that says that any retail sports betting facility in Virginia, and of course there are no casinos, so you would be talking about building new retail sports betting facility, would have to be permitted to a major league sports franchise and a major league sports franchise of the highest league available, and for a stadium constructed after July 1st of 2020. If you look at what's going on both in Virginia and in Maryland, it's pretty clear that this involves the Washington Redskins in the NFL and their chairman, Daniel Snyder, who appears to be lobbying legislators in both Virginia and in Maryland to see what can that he can get done in terms of not just a new stadium, but a new stadium prominently featuring sports betting when it comes to Washington's NFL franchise. Now, the current lease at FedEx Field in Maryland runs through 2027, but the Redskins already have their headquarters in Virginia. So you can see where Snyder would be in a pretty good position to try to play the two off each other in some way, see if who can cut the best deal and or who can actually get legal sports betting accomplished. Now, we know both states tried last year. Both states failed last year. Virginia's bill ended up just turning into a study bill, and Maryland ended up coming to a screeching halt last year when they figured out that the mechanism they were going to try to use to legalize sports betting without having to go to the voters and do it through a constitutional change was not going to work. The attorney general basically said, no, this falls far enough outside our current law that you would have to go to a vote of the people in order to authorize a gaming expansion that's written into to Maryland's code. So that's what we're looking at right now in terms of Virginia. That's in SB 384, which has advanced through committee and through the through down to the Senate.
Dustin, if you are anyone that would be somewhat interested in this, in the, you know, if you are around Virginia or Maryland, would anything that was tied to Daniel Snyder instantly turn you off and make you run the other direction?
I mean, me personally, absolutely. As both an Eagles fan and a long-time DC resident, Dan Snyder is the nut low for football owners. Like, I don't know how Washington still supports that team, and it's started to become brutal for them. It's a dumpster fire of a franchise. I don't know why you'd make. I mean, I guess I do know why you would make dispensations to try to attract the team to your state. But at the same time, you're also going to be helping them pay for a stadium on top of giving him a sweetheart deal for sports betting. I just don't know why you do that, given the history of Snyder and the Washington franchise. I don't want to use their racist name.
Listen, anything that has to do with Daniel Snyder, you can be sure I would be running very fast in the other direction. That guy is so incredibly toxic. Dustin, so let's move to you here, a guy that is no stranger to this podcast, in our good friend Assemblyman Gary Pretlow over in New York. It's actually been maybe two podcasts since we've mentioned anything about New York. So, hell, it is high time for us to talk about what's going on over in New York and what Mr. Pretlow has to say about it.
We love nothing more than to speculate about what might happen in New York. There was some thought that Governor Andrew Cuomo was going to put it in his budget, and then that didn't happen. And he actually kind of poo-pooed the idea of sports betting. And now we have something like Gary Pretlow saying he wants to put sports betting in the budget. This is notable because the Assembly has never put it in the budget. The Senate has been willing to do this in the past. The Senate has also passed legislation on its own. So this. You know, at least when you listen to the talk, this marks a step in the right direction for New York. Now, I've been talking and other staffers at LSR have been talking to Assemblyman Pretlow for a long time. So you have to read tea leaves. He likes to try to make sure that it looks like the narrative is advancing. That doesn't mean anything's actually going to happen. So this is, you know, on its face, a good thing. They're continuing to talk about it. Maybe they'll get in the budget. You know, if I'm betting on it, I'm not betting on New York getting done. I think there's a lot of problems. You know, the aforementioned Cuomo problem of he seems to be kind of wholeheartedly against it. I doubt they have, you know, the Assembly has the will to override a Cuomo veto if that were to happen. So we might be in the same situation as Maine. But you're telling me there's a chance of New York. Yes, I'm telling you there's a chance New York passes online sports betting this year.
Quote, what's different this year is I want to get it done. Pretlow said, yes, I don't think policy should be in the budget, but if that's the only way to get it done, then get it done. This is more fiscal than policy, to be honest with you. This is trying to alleviate some of the pressures we have with our shortfall. And Adam, this is, you know, something we just continue to beat the drum on here. But, you know, look, the numbers don't lie. We'll talk just in a second about what's going on in New Jersey with sports betting. But if you honestly are looking at ways that you could very, very easily generate more money for the state of New York, and, you know, look, hell, at the end of the day, I mean, a decent amount of money, if our projections, what we think could happen there in New York, sports betting and specifically mobile and online sports betting is certainly a very easy way to go with this.
I appreciate Gary Pretlow's, what's the right word? Enthusiasm for trying to get this into the budget this year, the same way that Senator Addabbo has on the other side of the Capitol. That said, even that's not going to be enough to get mobile done, I think, in any sort of meaningful way, because you're still looking at constitutional issues. You're still looking at tribal issues. I mean, the governor has been very clear about how he feels about this. And when you look down in New Jersey and in Pennsylvania, you're seeing mobile share upwards of 85% in both states. And so, you know, the larger the state, the more complicated it gets. We have seen that consistently throughout the country. We see it, you know, we were shocked that Illinois got anything done, and the implementation of that is still looking like quite a challenge. Florida, California, New York, these large states with huge markets and a great number of stakeholders are just very, very complicated states to accomplish anything legislatively.
And as you said, Cuomo has definitely made his opinion known. He says this is not the time to come up with creative, although irresponsible, revenue sources to solve a problem which doesn't really exist. Of course, Pretlow countered with that, with give New Yorkers the opportunity to bet on their favorite sporting events. I don't know what his pushback is on this. The governor is still saying he has a constitutional question on it, and I'm trying to tell him that it's not his purview to decide what's constitutional or not constitutional. That's up to the state court of appeals. So you can see when Adam talks about the complications that are going on here and how there are tons of different viewpoints on all of this. Just a few quotes right there. Of course, you can read the entire article over at Legal Sports Report that has even more quotes from everybody involved in all of this. Dustin, I don't want to get off of New York here mentioning this used to be the beat for LSR, which was DFS. Sports betting comes along, takes over, kicks our DFS, our beloved DFS, to the curb. But there is some news coming out about DFS here that is, you know, I guess you and I, you know, talked offline that it's just kind of funny that the tipping point of all of this was whether or not New York was actually going to legalize DFS, and that actually could have helped lead to all everything that we have going on in the United States right now. And now we find out that maybe that wasn't supposed to happen in the first place.
Yeah, it's funny. We do this podcast and I forget how much freaking news there's been. Like, I forgot about this one. Like, this ongoing court case started way back in 2016 after the New York passed the law legalizing daily fantasy sports and letting DraftKings and FanDuel return to the state and kind of setting up the those two companies basically to survive. If that law hadn't happened, their future was certainly in doubt, I think. So here comes this we have an appeals court ruling on this case where there's people in New York arguing that the law that New York passed is unconstitutional, that they can't just expand gambling willy-nilly in the state. And this is the second court in New York to say that the law itself is unconstitutional. This doesn't mean anything functionally for anyone. DraftKings and FanDuel both tell me business as usual. There's probably going to be an appeal. Interestingly, DraftKings and FanDuel aren't actually the parties in the case. They're kind of bystanders in all this. It's private citizens versus the state of New York because they're challenging the law itself. So this is not great news if you're DraftKings and FanDuel because you're maybe not going to be able to offer DFS if, you know, we're still a long way from a final verdict, assuming this gets appealed to the next court level in New York. But it also sets up the possibility that DraftKings and FanDuel cannot operate DFS in the state, but will operate sports books because they're already doing that in upstate New York casinos, which is one of my little favorite bits of potential irony out of all of this.
Yeah, it is absolutely crazy that really it was. We were up until the wee hours of the morning kind of seeing if an industry was going to die or not. It lived on. And with all of that, we are here where we are right now. Those two companies dominating a sports betting industry that is blowing up across the United States. And maybe the death of those companies actually should have happened a few years ago. Really, really interesting stuff. And we'll, of course, follow up on all of that as we get more news. Adam, let's go ahead and close things out of our little quick hitters here with Kentucky and South Dakota with some state news.
Yeah, things are getting interesting in Kentucky. We had 11 different amendments filed on the primary sports betting bill in Kentucky just yesterday, and it is a wide range of bills that could take the tax rate anywhere from where it is now up to about four times where it is now. So a lot to work out there. Some amendments that that the sponsor of the bill, Representative Adam Koenig, has said that he wasn't expecting. Whether that is the case or not, who knows? But we know that he certainly expressed that surprise to our Macradel when they spoke. Up in South Dakota, you have the same resolution that came through last year through the Senate pass again this year, actually with a little wider margin in the Senate this year. That resolution would put a question to the voters of South Dakota about whether they want some limited sports betting in the state, basically if it would be allowed via casinos in Deadwood, where there is the gaming industry in that state. So that's very, very limited, though. You're talking about a couple million dollars in estimated revenue per year up in South Dakota. Last year, it died over in the House, and there are 40 bipartisan sponsors between the two chambers this time. But I do believe that it looks like this one is going to have more trouble on the House side than it did on the Senate side. So we'll see.
Am I out of line here in just assuming that with where we stand right now, I mean, of course, in a perfect world, these sportsbook operators want everything legal in all 50 states. They want to be able to operate in all 50 states, and that would be the dream scenario. But am I off base to assume that in some of these smaller states and some of these states where the potential revenue, just like you guys mentioned, for a state like South Dakota, it's going to be so incredibly small that, you know, look, we might not see a lot of action in these states because probably there's not a lot of lobbying dollars and a lot of education that's going on in trying to make this happen. Would it be crazy for me to assume that the majority of the time and effort and dollars is being spent in these states where potential significant revenues would be generated?
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to what's happening with South Dakota, they have their money very clearly portioned out in terms of where it would go. And this would not have a particularly broad impact on the state budget when it comes to South Dakota. I mean, there's money that would go to some local municipalities. There's money that would go to historic preservation in Deadwood. So whereas some states have the money going into the general fund with a certain percentage designated for responsible gaming or, you know, other needed programs, this one is very, very well defined.
And Dustin, let's wrap things up here with numbers. We love numbers, and we certainly love New Jersey numbers. And we really like when those numbers are incredibly large. And over in New Jersey, that is exactly what we got for the month of January.
Yeah, newest numbers, almost just over $540 million was bet in New Jersey. This is not a record, but it is the third straight time the state has surpassed half a billion in bets. Notable because the other 2 months were obviously heavy with football. And while we have playoffs and college football, national championship, there's just a lot less volume. So the fact that we hit this kind of huge number without, tons of football being played on Saturday and Sunday is definitely notable. Also related to more than $53 million in revenue, which is just a big number as well. Obviously, about a 10% hold if you're doing the math there. We try to stay away from the Nevada horse race these days, but I think it's of note this time. Nevada has never surpassed $500 million in any January before. Last year, they came just short. So this probably means that New Jersey is going to start off at least 2020 with being the biggest sports betting market in the country.
And if we take a look here again, just the mobile numbers remain staggering. 87% of all the handle coming through either mobile or web online. And that is just, again, just absolutely staggering, especially when you consider the type of money that we are talking about when it comes to all of this. And Adam, whenever we go and we kind of break this down a little bit further, we look at Meadowlands over there. Of course, we've mentioned time and time again their advantage being just right across the border there in New York. And then also just during football season, they're in the same parking lot as the stadium, which certainly helps out as well. When we take a look here, the Meadowlands leads the way just yet again, which is the home to FanDuel Sportsbook.
There's no substitute for the proximity when it comes to retail, and there's really no mystery in that. We can look at it in Indiana and Illinois and see that the sports books that are closest to the border in Indiana are catching all of the Chicago market that is pent up and frustrated that they don't have legal sports betting in Illinois just yet, even though we have begun to see some retail applications come in Illinois. And, FanDuel has the advantage of not just being, situated close to New York, but being situated in the parking lot of two NFL franchises. So it's a huge advantage that not anyone else has the opportunity to match, because the other casinos that are providing the licenses for these companies to operate mobile sports betting are located in Atlantic City.
And Dustin, we mainly talk sports on this thing, but listen, this is still something that we've talked about a lot here, is the fact that there is a bunch of cross sell across the various different ways whenever there are multiple ways that you can gamble online here. And what we did see over in New Jersey as well is the online casino revenue continued to grow. And, again, this is something that's been going on over there in New Jersey for quite a long time. And so when we take a look and see that it's, you know, the casino that's been casino gaming has been operating over there for several years now. And to see this, you know, type of, I mean, this is just staggering growth that happened over there in January.
Yeah, this is, you know, part of the ongoing narrative in New Jersey is that, you know, sports books and online casinos go hand in hand. It's continuing to see just massive growth for the online casino portion along with poker. Poker, though, is a pretty small part of the overall picture there. But yeah, over 50 million for online casino revenue. This is probably not happening without sports betting. Again, points to if you're legalizing online gambling, well, why are you just doing sports betting? Pennsylvania has done it. Michigan will have both casino and sports betting in parallel. West Virginia someday will have online casino. This should be the wave of the future. You should be able to do whatever you want. It's not, this is not a world in where you can't do whatever you want to online. You can obviously go offshore, bet on blackjack, bet on roulette, play, bet on sports, all that stuff. You should be trying to, you know, legalize this, you know, regulate it, capture the offshore market, and, you know, just do a better job than what you can. And it's turning into real revenue for New Jersey. People kind of scoffed at the revenue potential here, but yeah, we're talking, you add up online sports betting and online casino, more than $100 million in a single month. That's turning into tax revenue for New Jersey. So definitely a big deal.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is real money that we're talking about at this point. It is no longer, it's no longer this theoretical throwing out there of like, oh, this could be so great for the state. No, it's actually proven out to be really, really good for the state. Guys, as always, all of the stories that we talked about here on this podcast, you can go find a full written breakdown over on LegalSportsReport.com. So be sure and go over there if you want to dig into this stuff a little bit further. As always, we are on Apple Podcasts, we're on Spotify, we're on Stitcher, we're on Google Podcasts as well. So please go in, subscribe, rate and review. We really do appreciate that. And the more that you guys do that, the more people will find this podcast and we can help kind of spread the word of, you know, the legal gaming industry and how things are growing across this awesome country of ours at LSP Report on the Twitter machine. For Dustin, for Adam, I am Matt. Talk to you guys next week.
The go through some emails, check your calendar, see that you have a 45-minute break in the day between meetings, realize this is your moment, so you drive right to McDonald's to pick up something extra delicious ASAP. Meal.
Thank you.
There's a meal for every moment at McDonald's.
Buy one of your select faves and get another for just a dollar every morning, like a sausage McMuffin or hash browns.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Price and participation may vary. Valid for product of equal or lesser value. Cannot be combined with any other offer. Combo meal valid when product served.
I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
COTA salutes those who served. Veterans ride free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of COTA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use COTA Plus. Veterans ride free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on COTA. Plan your ride and learn more at coda.com/trip planner.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.